Sullivan. It was their mother. So when Christmas rolls around, as it does every year, and all the houses on a particular, modestly gentrified Harlem street are festooned with Christmas lights and decorations, one large, decaying Victorian house with chipping paint remains unadorned. This is the house where Will and Ella Sullivan live with their father, Henry. It remains an island of somber darkness that seems to deny the existence of Christmas, fortified by a seasonal gloom against any encroachment of jollity that may try to breach its borders. For at this time of year in the Sullivan house, stockings go unstuffed, tinsel unstrewn, gifts unbought, mistletoe unhung, chestnuts unroasted, carols unplayed, cookies uncooked, and a tree invisible. Not only did Will and Ella lose their mother 5 years ago, they also lost Christmas. To be absolutely clear, though, they didn't technically lose their mother. They know exactly where she is, in a tastefully decorated burial plot in the cemetery. At least, she'd better be there because, if she's not, she's a zombie or something, and these poor children, who have surely suffered enough, risk being subjected to a whole different kind of emotional trauma. The house itself is not to blame. It was built in another century, pre-TV and internet, if you can imagine such barbarous times, with adequate rooms and space to absorb the bustle, noises, and smells associated with a busy, vibrant family who had to amuse themselves without the help of Instagram or Netflix. It was the generous proportions and original features of the house that attracted Henry and Katie Sullivan. It certainly wasn't the colony of obstinate mice who had taken up residence, or the peeling wallpaper, or the pipes that rattled and popped when faucets were turned on and off, or the kitchen full of the most modern, space-age, and technically advanced appliances that money could buy during the presidency of Dwight D. Eisenhower. Despite those negatives, which had chased away all previous sane potential buyers, Henry and Katie Sullivan knew the house was the one for them the moment that they walked in with little Will and Ella toddling around their knees. The task ahead of them was daunting, but they would have a lifetime to fix it up. Unfortunately, a lifetime, in this case, was to be just 4 short years. Not knowing they had so little time, Henry and Katie slowly did what they could afford to do to make the old house a home. Modern plumbing and moderately priced new appliances were a good start, and new paint, rugs, curtains, and comfortable furniture went a long way to brightening up the place. But the key ingredients were love and laughter. You may not know this, but it's an accepted fact that no room is completely done until furnished with a child's giggle. And there was no shortage of those at the Sullivan household. While Henry was responsible for most of the work on the interior of the house, Katie spent her time outside. Not because she'd forgotten her key or wasn't house trained, but because the house had an unusually large walled private garden behind it, big enough for flower beds, vegetable patches, paths, trees, and a fountain. Big enough for children to play long, exhausting games of tag, or even hide and seek. This was where Will and Ella's mother spent her days and her energy, up to her elbows and ankles in soil, turning the overgrown, muddy patch of scrubland into an Eden. A unique, jazz-like energy and rhythm had surrounded the four Sullivans whenever they were all together, which was almost constantly. But after their mother's death, that energy and rhythm ground to a halt as the ensemble over the weeks and months drifted apart. Those happy days seemed like a long time ago to Will and Ella, who each now retained a diminishing number of increasingly foggy memories from those laughter-filled years. And Will and Ella, who had once been as thick as thieves, had grown apart, Will having grown louder and Ella having grown quieter. Nowadays, even when they were technically together, they were essentially apart. Mealtimes were quiet affairs with tepid food and equally tepid conversation, to be endured rather than enjoyed as they had been in the past. Restaurants, movie theaters, clothing shops, candy stores, and parks